Game night here on Sacktown Sports. Drive Guys taking you up to our Kings coverage. And I think, Kyle Draper, the best thing to me about this game is that we're almost done with the preseason. We're getting there.
Right? Yeah, exactly. Because if I'm a Kings fan, we're all going to be watching tonight. I get that. It's the Warriors. We're looking for certain things. But the results really don't matter, Whitey. And so, you know, here we are 0-3 and people are all nervous and upset and everything like that. Not me. I want to see the regular season games. That's when they mean something. I want to see how this team looks when De'Aaron Fox is playing 37 minutes a night. Domas is playing 33 minutes a night. And so all this panic that I'm hearing around Sacramento about the club right now, calm down. Our guys aren't even playing, really.
Right. But it's not panic. I'll speak for myself. It's not panic. And yeah, it doesn't matter win or lose. I would like to see them more competitive defensively for longer stretches. So I can speak only for myself, as I say. I'm not panicking. Little uncomfortable with some of the things we're seeing. And I'll say this. My read on this situation with Kevin Huerter, I know a lot of us have thought that maybe this is Mike Brown sending a message. I don't know if it's so much sending a message as Mike Brown saying, you're not starting. It's not a message. It's like you can't start if you play like that. He's been replaced in the starting lineup, and I think he has to earn his job back unless, you know, Duarte's hurt now, so maybe that opens
right.
the door.
I was going to say, are we overblowing this Kevin Huerter situation?
I don't think so.
He, you know, Mike Brown turned to Duarte in practice, started him last game, but maybe he just wanted to see how Chris Duarte played with the starting unit. Maybe it wasn't a signal to Kevin Huerter, you know what? If you don't shape up and get better defensively, this dude's taking your spot.
Wouldn't he have told him that? If that were the case, wouldn't Mike Brown have said, look, Kev, we're just doing this for this one game? Because Kevin Huerter said, as you know better than I, he said, I don't know what's going on. And that's fine. But I just think it's more, we'll see. I think it's significant. I think it's totally fair. And that's pro basketball. But I do think it's really interesting to see that happen so early in the postseason.
Yeah, you know, Mike Brown did say he spoke to Kevin Huerter. Might have even been the night before he made the decision, you know, going into practice. Hey, we're going to have Duarte start with the first unit. I don't know what's happening. Now this Chris Duarte injury makes it kind of a moot point, right? And so if I'm Kevin Huerter, we just talked on the crossover with the other guys. I was saying I was looking at Sasha. I'm always looking at Kevin Huerter, though. Now is his time. You know, Chris Duarte not practicing, dealing with the bone bruise. He's out. He's injured. Won't play tonight or tomorrow night. So this is Kevin Huerter's time to say, you know what? This is my starting spot. And so I'm looking at him tonight as well. I'm not sure what's going on, to be honest. And I'm going to ask Matt Barnes about this coming up next segment.
About
we got
10
Matt.
Minutes.
But yeah, in about 10 minutes, we got the great Matt Barnes. I want to hear his thoughts on it. Is it just Kevin Huerter? You know, you need to play more, better defense to get out there. Or is it Mike Brown? He just wanted to see Chris Duarte with the starting unit.
Yeah. I don't pretend to know, but I know Kevin Huerter said when he was asked about that, he said, I'm not sure what's going on. So,
right.
We'll
now,
see.
If Kevin Huerter don't know,
yeah.
Like that's telling right there to an extent.
I'm not suggesting Mike Brown hasn't been communicating with him. I'm just saying that it sounds like he's told him, we don't know yet. We're not sure yet. We're going to let this thing play out. Good day for Kevin Huerter already in this sense. We have another one of these top 100 players in the NBA listing came out today. NBA rankings from The Ringer, and the Kings have three players in the top 100, including number 91, Kevin Huerter.
How about that?
So we know
that
Mike Brown is not part of the panel.
Right.
That voted on that.
Exactly. You know, it's funny. I mean, if Kevin Huerter is not starting for this team, he's not even in the top five on his squad, you know? In The Ringer, and I'm a little shocked. That we only have three guys and that Kevin Huerter is the third guy. What was it? ESPN or NBA had Harrison Barnes.
That was the ESPN one.
That was the ESPN one. Had Harrison Barnes as the third Sacramento King. What I'm seeing, though, when I look at these, and we'll deep dive into it a little bit, you got Fox 17, Domas 24, but then there's a huge gap. That's what The Ringer is saying to me. There's a huge gap between those two guys and the next best player on Sacramento.
Yeah, I remember last spring, right around playoff time, The Athletic had their version of this, and I think they had those three, plus I think Monk and Keegan both made it.
Yeah.
And I think that's pretty fair. And again, it doesn't matter, but it is surprising to see only three Kings in there if one of them's Kevin Huerter.
Right, exactly. I thought, you know, Keegan would maybe be in there, Harrison Barnes. would be in there as well. And, you know, I did look at this Ringer thing, and honestly, Whitey, this is probably the first time that I agree with a national, like, I don't have many issues with this Ringer top 100 list.
All right.
I don't have many issues.
Sounds like you have maybe a few.
Yeah, I got a couple. I still got a couple. It's still a few guys that are, you know, a little too high, and some of our guys aren't even listed. So I do take a little, but I can see what they're saying. So this isn't a John Hollinger kind of thing or a Pelton kind of thing or anything like that. You know what? They actually did pretty well, I think, in this Ringer one.
Didn't they also, and this is similar to the way ESPN ranked him, didn't they have Halliburton right before Sabonis?
Yes. They had a Halliburton 23, which is okay. I'm not gonna argue that. My problem was they had Halliburton ahead of De'Aaron Fox.
ESPN did.
Yeah. You know, in this one, De'Aaron Fox is clearly, you know, according to these rankings, better than Tyrese Halliburton. De'Aaron Fox number 17. They had De'Aron Fox ahead of Bam Adebayo, which was, I thought, huge in this one. That was a statement. They had De'Aaron Fox ahead of Anthony Edwards. And Anthony Edwards seems to be like the new it guy around the NBA. And so as a Kings fan, you know what? Our guy did get some respect. De'Aaron Fox did get some respect in this ranking.
Do you agree with the summations of these players here? Number 17, De'Aaron Fox. Total speed demon who lives for the game's biggest moments.
Yes.
That's pretty nice.
Yes, that's pretty nice.
Yeah,
that's
DeMontis Sabonis, burly center with a back-to-the-basket skill set that's adapted to work as the fulcrum of a modern offense.
You know, that sounds good, but when you do a deep dive, and this is one of the problems I had with the Ringer, when they talk about Sabonis, they say the trouble is on defense, where he can get exposed inside and out against more physical matchups, even on the glass. What are they talking about? Because Looney had one good series against him. We're talking Domas getting dominated on the glass. I don't think that was an issue at all during the regular season. And so I think the Ringer is letting the playoffs really cloud their judgment when it comes to Domas.
Yes. As we said yesterday, anytime you read one of these national website prediction reports here, pieces, The main reason the Kings seem to be disrespected is because the vast majority of people writing these, they don't really have that much respect for Sabonis as a top-level
right.
NBA player.
It's not about Fox, because everybody thinks Fox is great. You're right about that. It's about DeMontis Sabonis. And Rob Mahoney of The Ringer goes on to say, and this is one thing I had trouble with this, he says, because of that, talking about the trouble on the defense and maybe getting exposed even on the glass, because of that, a Sabonis-led team tends to come with a sturdy floor and a fairly defined ceiling.
The problem with that is the Kings' ceiling last year was way higher than anyone envisioned.
Right, right, exactly. We don't even know what their ceiling is. Really, they blew past it last year.
Yeah.
And so why can't they do it again this year? We don't know.
Yeah, it's not like the Warriors blew them out. I mean, they almost beat the Warriors.
Exactly.
They came that close to beating the Warriors. Be that as it may. And then Kevin Herter, number 91, the crucial floor spacing deep threat for an electric Kings offense.
I like that. It's 100% true.
He was great last year.
He was great last year. And the thing about it, as I read about Kevin Herter, Chris Ryan wrote this, they don't mention his postseason struggles. Like, the reason they, you know, criticize Domas is because of his rebounding the defense, where Kevon Looney clearly out-rebounded him, you know, did him in on the boards.
Yep.
So that was a knock on Sabonis. Kevin Herter, as I read this, they say he isn't Klay Thompson, but he's still a pretty darn good NBA player, shooting the long ball and an above-average secondary playmaker to Fox and Sabonis. And so, you know what? They gave love to our guy Kevin Herter, but it doesn't paint the full picture, which is okay for me. I'm not, you know, I'm glad they didn't bring up Kevin Herter's struggles, because I'm not going to look at a 7-game vacuum and indict a guy for that and say that's who he is, he's done, he struggled. And that's where I feel like the league is doing with DeMontis Sabonis.
Yes, I can't wait for the games to start so that we will be able to have actual results and games to watch and judge, rather than, you know, all this nonsense. And I know I get caught up in it as much as everyone. especially when there's nothing else to talk about. But pretty soon, we don't have to worry about any of that. Oh, yeah, there will be your power rankings. King Slide in the power rankings. I'm telling you, none of it matters once the game starts. Yes.
The standings are what matters.
Yes. So looking forward to that and looking forward to Kings and Warriors tonight. Although, yeah, Kings and Warriors now, it seems like, Kings and Warriors again.
Right.
It's like every other night.
Every other night. We're going to see them next week as well. But, you know, one thing Mike Brown said before last game against the Warriors, he said he didn't even scout the Warriors. He didn't even look at film of them. He said, because really it's all about what we do, what the Kings are doing right now. And same thing going into tonight. He said he'll look at last game against the Warriors, obviously, but really to get a gauge on what his team needs to work on and what they. So when we see them, and that's a good question, when we see them tonight defensively, are they reacting to Golden State's plays? Like, do they have a defensive, all right, here's what they're going to. They are not treating this like a regular season game. And so I think they want to see certain things. And so the defense, maybe that's a reason, too, why it's not up to par, because they've been focusing on so much on what they do, not that necessarily what the opponent does.
That makes sense. One thing that mildly concerned me about the last game against the Warriors is the way Kuminga was physically pretty dominant. He got to the line, I think, 17 times.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was that's something I'd like to see corrected tonight. Now, Kuminga played, I don't have the box score.
34 minutes. Yeah,
so he didn't
play
against the Kings' first unit, but still, he was physically dominant. And that guy he has a chance to be a really good player, obviously.
No, he does, and they're high on him, obviously. There's a reason why he was drafted a lottery pick, and he might be the key to the Warriors' season. But I want to go back to that game really quickly here, Whitey, because when we talk about the defense, we want to see consistent defense, obviously. We all agree on that. Golden State shot 42.5% from the field. That's pretty good. Mm-hmm. If you can hold a team to 42.5%, that is pretty good. And then you look at the second half, 27 points, 28 points. Where the Kings lost that game was the free throw line. You got to keep them off the free throw line. They shot 42 free throws to the Kings 17.
That's ridiculous.
35-12 and made free throws. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, one thing Mike Brown talked about after the game is defending without fouling. You know, you got to be physical, yes, but you can't foul as much as the Kings did the other night.
Right. And the Warriors kind of, as I said, coming out physical in a way. They got to the line and the rebounds were not close. But again, it's hard to look at a game, the final snapshot, because really in the preseason, you have to look at stretches, what these guys did together, what those guys did together. So hopefully we'll see some better and longer stretches of better defense tonight. And if we don't, that's okay.
If we don't, it's okay. It's okay. I want to see when the regular rotation is set. I don't care. Yes. No offense. I don't care about the defense for our 10th, 11th, and 12th man, because that's not going to impact what we see during the regular season.
So no Duarte tonight?
No Duarte tonight.
I'm really disappointed in that, because it's an interesting story that's developing with him, and I want to see him back in the lineup ASAP.
No, I agree, and I like, you know, in the 12 minutes he played the other night, I like what I saw from him with that first unit.
We'll take a quick timeout, and Matt Barnes, 14 years in the NBA, he joins us when we come right back. Drive Guys, Sackdown Sports. Kyle Draper, Whitey Gleason. Before we get to Matt Barnes, Kyle, years ago on this station, Matt, in his first go-round with the Kings, there was a guy on the station, I'm not going to say his name, but I remember hearing this. He was on the radio saying, Matt Barnes is not an NBA player.
And what?
I think, that's what he said. I think Matt's dad even, like, called in. Well, the guy was wrong by 14 years and one championship ring. Nice enough to join us, Kings TV analyst, All the Smoke host. Yeah, 14-year NBA veteran, Matt Barnes. How are you today, Matt?
How you guys doing?
We're doing all right. How did the podcast go this weekend?
Podcast went well. You know, we were up in SAC and were able to sit down with Mike Brown. We sat down with JaVale McGee, Kevin Herter, and then we did a live show Saturday at Urban Roots with Mike Bibby. So great response, great show up for, great turnout for the live audience. And I was glad that we were able to kind of bring something to SAC.
Yeah, All the Smoke podcast, check them out. Matt Barnes, Steven Jackson, always good stuff, Matt. Here we are a week away from the regular season beginning for the Sacramento Kings. They have not played well so far this preseason. How much stock should we put on what we see from the Kings in the preseason?
Zero, because all the time I feel like, Kyle, there's a ton of teams that'll go 4-5, 8-0. Back when we used to have a lot of preseason games, and they're at the bottom of each division every year. So you know, during the preseason, I just look at chemistry and building and guys catching a rhythm. Obviously, with, you know, training camps being shorter now and preseasons being shorter, it may take teams and individuals a little, you know, longer to get going and maybe a little slower start to the regular season. But I don't put a lot of stock into what preseason records are. Again, there's certain things you look for as a former player or a coach or someone who's into the game. You know, you just look to see how's that chemistry. You know, how does this lineup look? How does this young player look? You look at certain things. I don't necessarily think you take the record into consideration at all, to be honest with you.
Matt Barnes with us. So far, Matt, how would you say that Sasha Vezenkov has been fitting in?
I think solid. I think what he's going to need to work on is the speed of the game. I think, and then on the defensive side, obviously, you know, very gifted offensive player that could shoot the ball with the best of them. I think he'll be one of the top shooters in the NBA this year. But I think the speed of the game and then just kind of finding who he is on the defensive end. You know, I know that's going to be a point of emphasis this year. I think the team was 23rd or 25th in defense last year, and obviously that's not good enough. I think this team needs to be a top 15, but preferably, you know, if not top 10, 11 or 12 in the NBA, because obviously with such a high potent offense, you're giving teams a lot of possessions. And I think sometimes those numbers can be misleading because the Kings' offense is so high-powered and so fast. That, you know, in the Kings game, the other team's going to get a lot more possessions than they are in other games. So I say all that to say that I just kind of think the side I'm going to watch is the defensive end. And is he someone that can guard threes? Is he someone that can guard fours? Is he someone that they're going to sought out and put in the pick and roll every time because he can't move his feet? So I think on the offensive end, I don't think it'll be tough, but I just think he's going to really need to work and buy in and kind of understand what the defensive end is about.
Let's stay talking about the defense, Matt, because one thing that's been discussed these last couple of days is Kevin Huerter. His shot isn't falling right now. We've seen him out there defensively as well. Chris Duarte got the start the other night. I maintain that this is a delicate situation for Mike Brown because, in my opinion, I'm just reading the body language and what I see. You don't want to lose Kevin Huerter.
No, no.
And so how key is it that Kevin Huerter gets going for this team?
Kyle, I agree with you 100%. And I hopefully Mike Brown doesn't read too much into a slow start from the shooting side because obviously, you know, with Huerter had career years in points per game and shooting percentage from the three-point line last year, that's something you don't mess with. You know, you have to have shooting in this league. Obviously, he struggled in the playoffs, and he was someone we sat down and kind of talked to about that and what it felt like. I don't know Kevin well enough to say, like, hey, he's going to be fine from a mental standpoint. Don't worry about him. But I agree with you, Kyle. It is a delicate situation. Obviously, defense is not necessarily one of his strengths, but he is, when he's on, one of the best shooters in the game. So it'll be interesting to see moving forward how Mike kind of handles this. And I hope he handles it with care because I agree with you 100%. Not only is he a shooter, but Kyle, you and I talked about it a ton last year on the broadcast. Just on the offensive end, his arsenal is him and Keegan Murray, to me, both, you know, they're labeled as spot-up shooters, but both these guys can make plays. I think their playmaking ability is underrated. I think their, you know, pull-up game's underrated, being able to finish at the basket. They both do all that very well. So they're not just your typical shooters, and I hope that Mike Brown kind of understands that, but I'm sure he will.
Matt, how similar is what the Kings do now to what the Warriors were trying to do, especially defensively, when you were there? What is it that fans can watch for, you know, other than, hey, he guarded the guy and the guy scored or didn't score? What are things fans can look for that Mike Brown is looking for his players to be doing defensively, especially off the ball?
I just think, you know, moving, talking, communicating, you know, obviously the league has transitioned away from hard-nosed defense, you know, and it's more about scoring and freedom of movement and all that other BS, so to speak. But on the defensive end, you know, teams that win can play defense. So, you know, to me, it's about communication, rotations, you know, being on a string, trusting that if I make that second or third effort, that my guy's going to have my back. If I'm DeMontis and I know I have to step up because there's a point guard penetrating down the lane, that my weak side three or two is going to crack back and make sure he keeps the big off the glass. So trust, communication, all those things are very important on defense. Obviously, you know, with an 0-3 record, people are kind of worried, I'm sure, because, you know, they think that every game is, you know, life or death. But I think there's certain things you look at and kind of understand from a just, okay, you know, we're good in this space. Our record doesn't reflect that, but hey, we're rotating quickly. We're communicating. We're taking charges. We're boxing out. We're limiting second shots. All those kind of things are things you kind of look at, again, kind of taking the record out of the picture, but just kind of looking at just the bigger picture on defense. And I know that's going to be a point of emphasis again. You know, you think about it, Mike Brown came in and helped create one of the, you know, number-wise, one of the best offenses in the history of the game, you know, but Mike Brown is a defensive-minded coach, and I know there's going to be a lot more emphasis on defense this year, and there needs to be, and I think this team is going to commit and really lock into that.
Matt Barton's joining us here on The Drive, guys. Check him out, NBC Sports California, All the Smoke as well. Matt, you know, yesterday, John Hollinger, I think it was yesterday, maybe 2 days ago, John Hollinger came out with his teams that, you know, will be on the outside looking in for the playoffs. He had the Kings 11th in the Western Conference, 39. Exactly. It's a joke, right? It's a joke. Yeah. But realistically, where do you see them at?
I think the what is their over-under for Vegas? I think, was it 43 games?
43.5, yeah, I think it was, yes.
Yeah, I think I see them above it. You know, obviously they're not going to be able to sneak up on anybody. I wouldn't say they're the hunted now, but, you know, they were the new kids on the block last year that kind of snuck up on teams, and they were the darling of the NBA. All that is out the window. You know, these guys got to come to play every single night. They're not going to sneak up on anybody. There's a target on their back because people want to see how good are they really. You know, how good is this team that was a third seed in the West last year? They took the Warriors 7 games. Are they really that good? Was it the luck? Was it this? Was it that? So there's going to be a lot of questions. But to say that they're going to be an outside looking in, one, is a credit to the Western Conference because it's strong. But two, don't listen to people who haven't really played the game. You know, when ESPN comes out with these player rankings or team rankings from guys that never – can't dribble the ball and chew gum at the same time. Like, don't put too much stock into that kind of stuff. If you're a fan, if you're a player, any of that kind of stuff, you know, the game still has to be played. You know, these are just predictions. So, you know, I wouldn't, you know, get too worked up over any of it.
Matt, you were, of course, part of the We Believe Warriors in 07. And then the next year you guys won more games, but actually just missed the playoffs. Is there maybe a lesson in that for the Kings this season?
You know, I hope so. I just think, you know, they come out and they're hungry. And understand, again, similar to that We Believe team, you know, we caught fire at the end of the season and kind of surprised a lot of people. The Kings aren't going to be able to surprise anyone. You know, their national TV games are up. The recognition is up. You have two All-Stars. You have two All-NBA players. You have a EuroLeague MVP. You have a rising rookie coming into his second year. So, you know, they're going to get all the bells and whistles and all the attention that they deserve, which I think is great because they've earned it. But again, you're going to have to stand on that. You're going to have to defend that. You're going to have to understand that, hey, every single night, people are coming in to kick your butt, and you got to be prepared and ready.
Our guy Matt Barnes joining us. Matt, you know, I'm going to switch gears just a little bit and go to the Eastern Conference. Obviously, Boston, you know, retooled with Porzingis and Drew Holiday. Milwaukee obviously got Dame. And then you got Philly, who's dealing with this James Harden situation. He hasn't been practicing with the team this week. What do you make of this? And you know, if I'm Joel Embiid, this is my prime right now. Like, when does Embiid become upset? If I'm Philly, I got to worry about that too.
I think Embiid is already upset, but I think he's doing a good job understanding that, you know, a lot can be put in if he came out and cussed James out or, you know, called James out on this stuff. I think they have to focus with who they have. You know, the NBA is always the next man up mentality. They got some young talent around them. But, you know, we talked about this on the Certified Smoke show I do with Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce and Steven Jackson about, you know, James has to be careful. You know, James has been a great player in this league, one of the most gifted two guards we've ever seen in this game. But you force your way out of Houston, you force your way out of Brooklyn, and then a lot of people don't blame the Brooklyn situation so much on him because it was such a debacle. But now you're in Philly, you're forcing your way out of Philly. Like, can you count on this guy to buy in? Can you count? Do you, if you're a Houston and you have a young core, do you really want to bring him in? You know, I can't speak to that because I've never played with James and I don't know what kind of teammate he is. But I'm erring on the side of caution if I'm a James Harden because the league doesn't – well, with all due respect, the league doesn't need him anymore. The league is always looking to go younger. He's obviously not the same player he was, although I still feel like he's a 2010 guy and can be a huge piece to a good team. But I think everything is between the ears with him. And you only – as Kevin Garnett said, you only get so many wiggle outs. And he's had two wiggle outs already in the process of his third wiggle out. And, you know, this is a copycat league. You know, a couple teams are off you. The other teams start being off you too, and next thing you know, James Harden can be out of the NBA, and he still has a lot to give. So I think Joel Embiid is doing the right thing, which is focusing on the guys they have in camp. I'm sure as the leader and then star and then reigning MVP, he's pissed, but he's not going to let the world know that because he knows we're going to run with it and try to possibly, not we, but some people are going to try to draw division in this team and make it James against the 76ers. So I think he's playing his cards right, but I guarantee there's a lot of frustration from the players. I mean, I don't really get into the management side, but I know from the player standpoint, you know, there's a lot of frustration because they know that, you know, he's a big piece of that team.
Thanks very much for your time, Matt. We appreciate it. Hope to talk to you again soon.
All right, guys. Have a good show.
Mm-hmm. All right. See Matt Barnes next week. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. When we come right back, what fans can expect to see from the Kings tonight, what Mike Brown expects to see from them, and, of course, hear from them here on Sacktown Sports Drive. Thank you for being with us. Thank you, Matt Barnes, for joining us. Matt Barnes, as all guests do, came to us from the Folsom Lake Honda Hotline. Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop. He is not amused by, what did he say, a freedom of movement and that BS.
Right. Matt Barnes was a defensive guy. He was a stopper out there. He was a hard-nosed player. That freedom of movement BS, he's not for. You
know? The debate rages on here on the YouTube chat about Kevin Huerter. Should he be starting? Why isn't he starting? And I think there's a subtle but significant difference here between the way a lot of people, I think, see it and the way I'm seeing it. There's talk here on the chat, Kyle, about how, well, Mike Brown's just sending a message. And to me, that implies that he's not really going to stick with it. He's just trying to send a message. I don't think Mike Brown's the type who would do that. To me, the message he's sending is, you're not starting if Kevin Huerter, if you don't play better defense. I don't think it's an example for the team. I think it's specifically, you have to play better or you're not starting. I think it's that simple.
Isn't that the message he's sending, though?
Well, yeah, but that's just what coaches do. That's not right. A message you send to the team. You know what I mean?
So you think it's not just a ploy to get him going, like he's actually would actually follow through with it.
Yeah.
And make that change.
That's what I'm suggesting. Because otherwise, if a guy's not playing well and then someone else starts and he continues to not play well, what are you going to do? Okay, never mind, you're starting. So I think it's more than just a ploy or some sort of message he's sending to the team. I think he's serious about this. He's like, we got to get off to a good start. We got to defend better. And that's not doing it.
Let me ask you this, and I hear you, and I agree with you to an extent. But what if it doesn't happen?
It's hard for you to agree with me.
It is. It really
all,
is.
Huh?
I can agree with you on basketball. I can't agree with you on football and Niner stuff.
Right.
Basketball, I'm able to agree
right.
with you.
Okay.
But let's say, so for instance, last year. We know last year Mike Brown was preaching defense. If you don't play defense, you're not going to get on. And what wound up happening? The guys who did play defense didn't even see the floor. Kessler Edwards, Davion Mitchell in game 7 only played 8 minutes. And so there comes a point where, let's say Mike Brown is doing all this preaching, all this talk, you know, if you don't play D, you're not going to be in the starting lineup. What if Huerter never does play defense the way that Mike Brown wants?
If he's not making shots, which he's not, then I don't know how much he can play. The plan to me clearly is, look, it'd be great if you played like you did last year, and we still think you can. If not, we've got other guys. That's why we have more wings, and that's why we brought in some of these guys, because we need more depth there. We can't afford to have no offense, no defense from any of our starting five this year, because we're trying to actually accomplish some things.
But I think, you know, when it comes to Kevin Huerter, yes, the shot has to fall. If he's not making shots and the defense is struggling, you know, it's hard to play them.
Sure.
I get that.
Yeah, that's pretty
but
simple.
If Mike Brown is preaching defense, 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 and Huerter's shot does start falling, you may just have to accept, you know what? This is our best guy in the starting lineup. Because here's the thing. If you're preaching defense, 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 you can't go with all your best defenders. You're going to have some liabilities at some of the positions, and maybe it's a liability at the shooting guard position. But Kevin Huerter, to Matt Barnes' point, does so much more than just shoot the three. He was one of the best playmakers as well. His passing is underrated. And so right now, to me, it's a totality of Kevin Huerter. And what we need to see from him tonight and tomorrow is, you know what? Okay, your shot might not be falling, but pick it up on defense. or still be a playmaker. Go out there and get 5 or 6 assists. You know, don't let your shot dictate the rest of your game. And I think that's what we've been seeing from Kevin Huerter since the postseason last year. And so, I don't think Mike Brown would sit Kevin Huerter just solely based on defense, because he could have did that last year.
Mm-hmm.
He could have did that. I think when it comes to Kevin Huerter, you have to do other things if your defense isn't there. Make shots. Be a playmaker.
Talked to him last year about rebounding. Even.
Rebounding. And he did that
at
times last year. And
well, he's 6'7", isn't he?
Yeah, he's tall. He's 6'7". And so that's what Kevin Huerter. You know what? I've been too hard. I'm going to apologize to Kevin Huerter.
Why?
Because, Whitey, the last couple of weeks I've been saying, you know what? I want to see Kevin Huerter hit 4 or 5 threes. You know, not for me, but for his own psyche, his own happiness. Really, for me, what I want to see is an engaged Kevin Huerter. I want to see compete defensively. I want to see active offensively. I want to see playmaking. I want to see a Kevin Huerter who does not let his shot dictate his impact on the game.
Mm-hmm. I think he is going to have to win back his starting spot. I think the Kings expect that he will, and I think that they desperately hope that he does, because they need him and what he did last year if they're going to be as good as they were last year.
Let you in on a secret right here. Game 7 against the Warriors. Davion plays 8 minutes. Based on the numbers, the analytics, I don't know what the formula is or anything like that. It's not just in the box score. Based on the numbers, Kevin Huerter did the best job on Steph Curry in that series. And that's why you didn't see Davion as much. And so, you know, I think the coaches feel like Kevin Huerter can be better defensively than what we saw these first 3 games of the preseason. And so I don't think this whole, you know, narrative that he's a liability defensively, I don't think that's true. Like, based on the numbers, what they had, he's not a liability. He can be better, yes, than what we've seen these first 3 games.
Even Matt Barnes said, it's not one of his strengths.
It's not one of his strengths.
I think we can.
No, yeah. How about that? It's not what he's known for. Can I at least get that? It's not. You're not going to give me
it's
that.
It's not one of his strengths. I mean, Matt Barnes said it.
If Matt Barnes says it, it's gospel?
You're going to disagree with me.
I can disagree with Matt Barnes, too.
Okay, but
Matt's
my
guy.
Barnes, so it's 2-1.
It's 2 against what? I think Kevin Huerter, he's not known for his defense, yes, but at times he's shown he can play defense.
Are you suggesting perhaps that right now the coaching staff is not totally satisfied with his attention to detail on defense?
I don't know. I have no idea. I think I'm a big body language guy, and I need to see an engaged Kevin Huerter. That's what I said a few minutes ago. The results might not be there. The shot might not fall. You might not get the stop like we saw Chris Duarte the other day. Chris Duarte was in a position. He challenged shots. That's what I need to see physically. The eye test. Kevin Huerter out there competing tonight.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So that's why, as Matt Barnes said, the preseason doesn't matter. But there are things, there are bits and pieces of things going on the floor during the preseason that matter. And that's probably first and foremost right now is what's going on at that off-guard spot with the Kings.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, because, you know, Mike Brown says the only 2 spots that are guaranteed are Fox and Sabonis. You know, no offense, Mike, but we know Keegan's going to start. We know Harrison Barnes. The only issue is that 2-guard spot. And I would say this, though. Kevin Huerter has a whole entire season, a whole entire body of work. The same way we shouldn't characterize Sabonis as a bad defender who can't rebound based on what happened against Kevon Looney, we shouldn't do that to Kevin Huerter, because he had an entire season where he showed he belongs in that starting 5.
What do you, and maybe I'm being redundant here, but what do you think happened then? Why did they take him out of the starting lineup?
I think what we've seen, he's struggling right now. Yeah. I mean, we all see that.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm worried about with Kevin Huerter is not Mike Brown or Chris Duarte. I worry about his confidence. And so that's why I wanted to see a 4 or 5 game, kind of 3-point game, because for his confidence, I want to see him knock down some shots. Because what I'm seeing, based on just the body language out there, you know, he's not playing free and loose and happy and fun like we saw, you know, throughout the regular season last year.
Oh, we were brought to you by Capital Casino, conveniently located on 411 North 16th Street, downtown Sacramento. When we come right back, take you behind the scenes a little bit inside the report on Christian McCaffrey avoiding long-term injury and what the Niners' plan may be for him over the next couple weeks. It's the Drive Guys on Tacktown Sports. Say it ain't so. Say it ain't so. What was her name? Marion Doe. Did you hear Kyle Draper? It's the Drive Guys here. About the Charger fan that was so animated during the Charger game against the Cowboys Monday night. And she was going crazy. And a lot of people said, oh, she's a plant. And she came out yesterday and said, no, I go to Charger games all the time. Did you hear what came out?
I did.
Yeah,
I did.
Pictures of her.
In Vikings
for the
here.
Vikings. Hanging out at Chris Watkins' house watching Vikings games. So, and then she says, well, yeah, I like the Vikings too. Well, then she doesn't really like the Chargers, right? If you're a fan of two teams, you're not really a fan of one team.
Actually,
she's a phony.
Actually, she can have an AFC team and an NFC team, right? Now, it'd be different if she liked the Vikings and the Packers or something like that. But the Vikings and Chargers, you know, there's nothing wrong with that.
Is really
not
the
right.
Know.
I mean, let a person be. Let them like who they like, Whitey. Why does there have to be a rule that you can only like one team?
It's not a matter of that. It's a matter of her showing the nation. Look at me, Chargers. Oh, look, they. Oh no, they lost. Oh, the Chargers.
So based on one picture. So all right, let me ask you this.
And she was in Vikings face paint in a Vikings jersey.
But when was that picture even taken?
She says she used to live in Minnesota.
Exactly. She used
said,
to live
I'm
in Minnesota.
I'm still a Vikings fan.
Right. So let me ask you this. Let me ask. This is hypothetical. Hypothetical.
Okay.
I'm from Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Let's just say, I'm not going to use the Niners as an example because you cannot like the Niners and the Eagles. That's blasphemous. You just can't do it. But let's say I lived in Vegas. I still like the Eagles.
Yeah.
But I'm in Vegas, so I like the Raiders, too. I want to see them do well.
Wouldn't surprise me because Eagle fans are notoriously fair-weather fans,
we know
right?
That's not the truth.
Fair-weather fans.
We know that's not the case.
Yeah.
But what is wrong with that?
Well, nothing.
As you grow and move, not everybody,
that's not the problem.
Niners fans, stay in their own backyard. People actually move from here, from Sacramento, from the Bay Area. And so let me ask you this. If you move to Miami,
I don't have to pay taxes.
And you worked for a local radio down there, the home of the Dolphins. Would you like the Dolphins?
Oh, if I worked down there?
I got it. Anytime somebody says, you know you got them, right?
Well,
that's all I'm saying.
I would work there. But here, you're missing the point. The point is that she presented herself as the ultimate Charger fan. And then she was on TV and looked like she literally was going to die when they lost. Then some people said, you know, I think that's fake. Then she comes out the next day. She's on with McAfee. No, I love the Chargers. Now, if she at that point had said, if at that point, the day after the game, if she had said, you know, I also like the Vikings, but I'm a big football fan, then okay. But no, she didn't say that. I love the Chargers. Live and die with the Chargers. And then it comes out, she's in a Viking uniform with face paint. And then she says, oh, I like the Vikings too. Phony! She's not who we thought she was. Or, depending on what you thought originally, maybe she was. Disappointing, that's all.
No, you know what? I need Simone.
Disappointing.
Simone, hey, Simone. Get the poll up for me. Can you be a fan of two teams? I say yes.
Hmm.
I say you can two teams.
But you can't be a diehard fan? You can't?
If you're not, by definition, if you're a fan of a team, then that's the team you are a fan of.
No, Whitey, this is 2023. This is the problem. Those
are
arcane rules. Dude, those are Neanderthal rules. Not taking a shot at you, but this is 2023 right here, big fella. People are allowed to like who they like.
I didn't say it. Yeah, you can like who you like, but don't come off and tell me you're a fan
of this
team.
She didn't ask for Monday Night Football to show her every 5 seconds.
She knew the cameras were on her.
She didn't know that.
The whole
she probably
time.
Got a text or, so, or a tweet or something. You're on TV. And she played it up a little more. Nothing wrong with
she
that. Leave the woman alone.
To come
Let her
clean.
Do her thing.
Yes, I love the
Let
Chargers,
her do her
but
thing.
You know I also like the Vikings. Okay, fine. But no, we had to have somebody find out the truth about her. Ha ha! I just say, yeah, that's great. Like as many teams as you want. And then if your team loses, it's okay. My other team might win. That's great.
You know,
good for you.
I'm glad we have the YouTube chat up right now because everybody's agreeing with me. Pretty much everybody. Pretty much everybody.
Pretty much everybody.
And I
want
to make sure I have the language correct this time for this poll. I don't want to be scrutinized.
Are you allowed to be a fan
of two teams? Okay, got it. I'm locking it in.
Unless Whitey want to, you know, add some other words. Or
can you be a fan?
Can you
be a fan?
Are you a fraud if you're a fan of two teams? How about that? Are you a fraud? Because you just called this lady a fraud.
Well, she clearly is, but that's I'm not saying everybody who likes two teams is a fraud. If you're upfront about it, I like my two teams. Can you be a true fan of more than one team? How about that? Can you be a true fan of more than one team?
Okay. I don't know if I like that, but I'll let you get that.
Well, we're negotiating.
There it is,
Simone,
right there. Can you be a true fan?
Do you just want to say fan? Can you be a fan?
Can you be a fan?
I was going to put fans in quotations, too.
Right. Of more than one. But I'll take it a step farther.
Okay.
In every matchup, I like a team and I don't like. Like, I pick and choose a matchup.
But you're not a fan. Of you're not a fan of that team. When I watch the Spurs and the Thunder last week, that exhibition game, I'm watching and I find myself, wow, I'm kind of rooting for the Thunder. Am I a Thunder fan? No. I like them. I like a lot of teams, but that doesn't make me a fan.
So let me ask you
this. Fanhood is something
that is sacred.
So this lady
lives in Minnesota for 25 years.
Sure.
Then 20 years ago moved to California. I maintain that no matter what, you can be a fan of the place you grew up in. Like, that's if that's your hometown,
that.
You always why she got to divulge that?
Because she's on TV and everyone's saying, "Hey, are you no one believes you're really a Charger fan." Oh, I am the biggest Charger fan.
Season ticket
that
holder.
Was her chance
is she
to
a
say,
season ticket holder?
I like the Vikings too.
You know what?
She didn't.
She's letting her money do the talking.
I think she can do whatever
she's
she wants.
She's a season ticket holder. She's
just
a fan. She's there every
me
day.
That you care that much about the Chargers when I know you also wear your Viking makeup and jerseys.
Did we finalize?
I don't know. Why are you trying to add some language to skew it to her?
Can you be a fan of more than one team? Isn't that what we decided?
Yeah. Can you be a fan of more than one team?
Can you be a fan of more than one team? Yeah.
Got it.
I'll even take it another step, Whitey. And I know we're going to get to CMC here coming up. But I'm a fan of individual players. So, for instance, if my guy... Let's see, who am I a big fan of? Like, I really like this
Brock
player.
Purdy?
No. For instance, let's say I'm a Brock Purdy fan. Let's say I was. We know I'm not, but let's say I was.
That's like that woman saying she's a Charger fan.
If
but
Brock
go ahead.
Purdy went from San Francisco and then to Buffalo, I'm become a fan of the Bills because that's my guy, Brock Purdy. I want him to do well. I'm a cheer for him. So, for instance, Sacramento Kings fans. DeMarcus Cousins, when he was here, we liked DMC. We cheered for him. We wanted him to win. If DMC goes to New Orleans, I want the best for DMC too. Just because a guy wears different laundry, a different uniform, or in this case, this woman wears a different hat, doesn't mean you stop cheering for that team.
Right, but that's two different things. That's, you know, books and shoes. It's like you're trying to compare this woman claiming she's a diehard Chargers fan to someone saying, I like Cousins. If he's traded, I still hope he does well. As two different things. I agree. That's fine.
Okay.
That's fine. That's right.
As my guy Jack says in the chat, man, root for as many teams as you want. You don't owe a team any loyalty. All a team wants is to extract as much of your money and attention as possible. That's big facts. Mm-hmm. Root for who you want to root for. Why is there... We need the Whitey stamp of approval now?
You root for whoever you want to root for. Just don't tell me you're a fan of this team if you also like that team and that team and that team and that team and that team.
You got me
that's
fired
all.
Up. Okay.
Yeah. All right. You're not
Simone,
really a fan.
We got that
and
coming?
That's fine.
We got it coming.
That's
I want to hear from the people.
And it looks
out
like
there.
The hotline's blowing up too.
People giving us a call, 916-339-1140. Can you be a fan of more than one team? Simple as that.
Of course not.
Simple as that. I want to hear from you guys.
All right. We got to take a timeout. We'll get back to hopefully the voice of reason from the smartest listeners in radio, smartest viewers on YouTube. Also, we'll get to what's going on with Christian McCaffrey and the interesting source of the information we got on McCaffrey's injury. All that and more with the Drive, guys, as we roll on here on Sacktown Sports.